Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We have Pastor David Obenauer from South Dakota going to be joining me here in just a little bit. They are getting through some technical stuff, and we're working that through. So good to be with you, seeing our friends on Blog Talk Radio right now and noticing that our friends on YouTube and on Facebook are beginning the journey of joining us on the air. So in just a moment, Pastor David will be with us from South Dakota. Trust you're doing well today. I sure do hope that you are. And a couple of minor things happening right now with this Hurricane Laura, which means strength and victory. It's the embodiment of strength and victory, which is what Laura actually means. And boy, she really packed a punch. They said it felt like 1,000 tornadoes. 1,000 tornadoes. What a powerful storm. We also know that in Nigeria, there is persecution going on unparalleled. It's unprecedented persecution to the Christians in Nigeria. And there are workers out there that are begging the Trump administration for their intervention. There's no doubt that's happening. Nancy Pelosi is telling everybody, shh, don't tell Joe Biden, but we should cancel the Biden-Trump presidential debates. That's Nancy Pelosi actually quoting that. And then we know that we have fires continuing to burn in California, but in Israel is sending firefighters to California to help battle the deadly fires. Isn't that amazing that Israel would have to send the firefighters all the way there to California? What an amazing thing that is. And there's a lot more news going on around the world right now to, just the turmoilous season that we are in. We are hearing now from Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club, about prophetic words that are coming to him in his broadcast about suitcase nuclear weapons being detonated in November. We've heard these things a long time. We've seen these things, and only time will tell when that it becomes a reality. But these are the harsh realities coming from around the world. But I want you to know, in the midst of all of this, there are some amazing things going on. To help us today, I'm going to bring in Pastor David Obenauer, all the way from South Dakota. Hello, Pastor David. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good.
Are you getting the echo?
You sound like you're on a roll.
Are you on an echo?
I am.
You're echoing. I'm so sorry. We got to find out what that is.
And you're echoing.
I'm echoing too. That is really strange.
It only happens when I get on your show.
Yeah. What is that?
that green screen behind me. So, you know, here we're becoming transparent like Christ.
Talk about being transparent. That's great. If anybody could see you right now, you could see that David is literally transparent. We're seeing right through his clothes into the green screen. That's amazing. I don't see
pure
any bones
heart,
or anything.
Pure heart.
Must be your glorified body, your effulgencing. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Dave, I'm so sorry that you're encountering that. Everything on my end is as normal as usual. I had Pastor Kevin with us yesterday, and everything was working, so I'm not sure where the issue is. But we'll figure it out as we go. So
we're green on this end, so it's probably over here again. So I'll let my wife deal with that.
Yeah, Victoria will get it. She'll handle it. You know, in just a couple of weeks, I'd say, 35 days, you're going to be right here in Northwest Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And you and Victoria are coming, and there's a family that has already opened their doors where you guys are going to come and rest your heads.
Bless their hearts.
Be a part of this great Feast of Tabernacles. And we are so excited about having both of you come and to impart and to partake of what Father God is about to do. Is he giving you any special thoughts at this point about, about the Feast of Tabernacles?
You know, a lot of times when I'm sitting there in his presence, he'll give me a fresh word usually just right there, and I bring it. And so I've been talking to God about it. He hasn't said too much. So I'm just sitting here and I'm looking at, hold on, let me do something here. Okay. So I'm just sitting here, I'm looking at the word, and I'm just thinking about what would you have me to teach them? What do you want me to bring to the people that you have down there, Lord? And the gifts of the Spirit started coming back. And I'm thinking about that, because where we go as a team and sometimes we minister as a team, the gifts of the Spirit really manifest. And so that may be something God may want to do. We'll have to see how that flows. But in the meantime, just before, as I was coming down to the office here, our dog's down here. Now, she's been free from seizures for over a year, year and a half. Something attacked her. She started having seizures. And so she's been free of seizures. And as I come down, she is seasoned and taking authority over that spirit, and she's set free. Just she belched and the thing left. But what I noticed a couple days ago, as I'm just looking at people, God's telling me, look at their eyes, look at their eyes, look at their eyes. And the scripture says that their eye be single, they're full of light. But, you know, to discern the gift, you know, discerning of spirits, and to properly discern, you got to have the fear of God, okay? Because there's a lot of flakes out there. No, it's like prophets. They think that a man-made prophet prophesies every week. Okay, he has a word from God. And yet we read in scripture, God didn't move like that. You know, he would give a word and be quiet. And then he'd give another word, and the words would always come forth, and they would come to pass. But with discerning, it's the same thing. It's the true gifts of the Spirit. I'm like, okay, why did this thing attack? Why did it come in here? What brought it in? Did somebody walk through here? Now, we had an electrician down here just the other day. We had couple other people that came through. So as we're sitting there looking at the word, or just looking, what brought this thing in? So we just started pleading the blood of Jesus over the house again, and over the office, and over the dog, and through the dog, as we've just been doing that, she just instantly, within 5 minutes, she come back to herself. And usually when she comes out of a seizure, she's panting and everything, and she wasn't even doing that, but she was shaking and trembling. And these are things that are truly, I guess you could say, they're concerning. But you know what? If you can't handle a pet and keep them free, how are you going to minister to somebody else?
Pastor Dave, first of all, I'm sorry that happened to your dog, but I know there's a lesson in it. We spent last night, about 30 of us, talking about the authority in the name of Jesus, and went through Amen. The body of people giving testimonies that when they were being attacked or confronted by the powers of darkness, how the authority of the name of Jesus mm-hmm. set them free. So no weapon formed against us will prosper, and mm-hmm. every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we do condemn by our faith in Jesus Christ, undoing the affliction that comes. And I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe the enemy trying to unnerve you, you know, harass you and Victoria, kind of war against you guys. There's no doubt about that, but that's a good thing. But we know that God says to the oceans, you can go this far and no further. And every time we take our stand, the enemy could come so far, God will allow it, and then he can go no further because God our Father is in control.
Amen. Hey, speaking in the name of Jesus, Acts 3:16, in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. The faith which is given by him has made him perfect in the presence of you all. The name of Jesus, the authority, how he inherited that name, how he obtained that name through conquest and through the power of attorney in John 14, how he delegated that name for us to use. And then we see the disciples later, before Jesus even paid the price, they're going out in his name. And they're sitting back. They come back, the 70, and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. But he said, keeping things in perspective, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are rather written in the Lamb's book of life. And to keep them there is so important. But in order to use that name, you ever think of the seven sons of Sceva?
Yeah.
I think about that, man. And I'll hear Christians say, how do I want to put this? Okay, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. Yet over in Romans 8, 35-39, it talks about nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Tribulation, distress, this, that, nothing. And we hear Christians quote that, but these Christians are not walking the way Paul walked. So they really have no claim to it. See, Paul was beaten. He was stoned. I mean, he was left for have any of us here in America been beaten, stoned, left for dead for the name of Christ and preaching the gospel? And so we don't have that revelation that he had and walked in, and we're not going to get it without meditating on this word and allowing this word to consume us. And another part of that, for the power of the name and the authority of the name, and for you to use the name, and so those demons can't latch out of people or you, pets or whatever, and come upon us. We have to sit back. Excuse me, my wife's doing something here. So they can't match up. We have to know that, because otherwise, like the seven sons of Sceva, they're turning around and they're looking at this, and these spirits jump out. They overcome, or the spirit overcomes this gentleman. They all seven left the house naked and wounded, literally naked and wounded, and that's a strong demonic spirit to whip seven men. But we don't, in our fight, ain't flesh and blood. But yet we have Christians that sit back and they're playing church. They don't want it. They don't want to truly submit to Christ and his lordship. And if you look at 6 of Romans, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, we get this message in 6:1 of Romans that grace may abound. Grace, grace, grace. Oh, God understands. He allows me to do this. He allows me to do that. Now, we just had a little deal out here yesterday, and a gentleman was in, and he had leathers on, and I walked up to him, and I tapped him on the shoulder, and I said, excuse me, and I pointed up to my sign, and I said, Jesus is Lord. And I said, you need to live it. A few minutes later, he comes into the coffee house and he walks over to me and I start talking to him. And I start talking to him about pornography and computer sex. And I said, you got to get that out of your life. You got to get clean. And I just poured my heart and just ministered to him, not even knowing if it was a real word for him. He gave me a big old hug. He goes, man, I needed that so bad. And people need to get set free, okay? And then a little bit later, as this thing was winding down, this little party we had, a lady comes up to me, and she starts, I didn't even say a word. But see, the presence of God, when you're real, people will walk right up to you, and hey, no echo. Echo on my end went away.
No echo.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, honey.
No problem.
All right, we got some things solved. Glory to God. All right, this sounds a lot better. Now I can get into the flow of the Holy Ghost a little more without fighting. But coming back to the word, this lady comes up and she just starts pouring out her heart to me. And just starts telling me what happened to her, what her husband did, and I'm not going to go into any of the details, but she's crying, and because the other body of Christ, she quit going to church, because the body of Christ around her just kind of boo-hoo, and then when he came out and confessed that he was doing all this, they all praised him, but they ignored her. And see, when you're married, this stuff affects both of you, and so here they are just pouring out your heart, but. If you're full of sin, if you're staying in sin, But if you made peace with your sin, according to Isaiah 59:2, then there's an enemy. There's something at work in your member, in your body, that will keep you from enjoying the true authority of the name of Jesus, from experiencing the true blessings of Christ, from you and I walking in true dominion of the Lord Jesus, and being able to be that impact to people. So here it says, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because see, we get this message, grace, 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 grace. Grace is God's ability to do you and I what you and I, we don't have the ability to do, like share the gospel with people, like being bold when circumstances call for you and I to be bold, to minister effectively in the power and the authority of God. That is what grace is for. It's to get us from place to place, going from glory to glory. And as we do that, God will open up these doors. But it goes, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So what he's saying is, why are you still playing with it? See, don't tell me you really love Jesus if you've been dealing with a sin, the same sin, for 20 years. For those of you that are older, say it's computer sex, or say it's gambling, or some kind of drug addiction. Because see, what that tells me is you're not hitting your knees. And you're not praying. And when you're tempted, you're running to your sin, and you're not running from your sin, and you're not running to Christ. You know, you got the madman in the garden, in the cemetery, chained with feathers, and would break them and count them. But when he saw Jesus, he didn't run. He ran to Jesus. He didn't run from him. He didn't run to, because he wanted freedom. See, do the people of Christ, do we want that freedom? And that's what we have to look at. Do we really want? See, we say it. We say it. Because why do we say it? Because we want to look good. Forget about looking good. Christ is supposed to look good, not us. But I mean, we're supposed to represent him good, you know. But and no, I'm not mad. People, I am not mad. I am wound. I get wound up like this. And no, it's not coffee because I just started sipping my first cup. Vince, you got anything you want to add at this moment?
Well, I'm just, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, the people that are tuning in right now to this radio broadcast that are listening, they probably have not heard a message like this in a very long time, where the confrontation with our human nature, with our lower nature, with the active sin. We just went Wednesday night, and I'm not just sharing things, you know, unnecessarily, but I want to use it as a testimony. Yes. Wednesday night, you know, we brought the word of the Lord, and next thing, what was happening, just about everybody in our packed out little warehouse was confessing their sins openly. And what was happening is one person would say, I'm dealing with this, and another person, I'm dealing with that, and another person, I'm dealing with this. And before you know it, we spent a good 30 minutes just people just talking about what they're going through. Then we had corporate prayer that those confessed sins are under the blood of Jesus. And then last night, another 30 some odd people gathered together, but this time it was all testimonies of how powerful God has been in their lives. And so there's the sin represents a clog. It represents a dam, so that we wonder why God isn't moving. And if it's secret sin, and that's what we started with on Wednesday night, secret sin, unconfessed sin, that's destroying like a cancer and eating up all the destiny that's inside God's people. So continue on, Pastor Dave. We're in agreement.
Okay. So as you're looking, when you're looking at it and you're struggling, you know, first of all, it's nobody's business. A lot of times people won't go up forward and share the gospel or pray with a pastor or another leader or an elder of the church to deal with something. And a lot of times I don't blame them, because a lot of times the church is just like the world. They're full of the garbage. They're full of the iniquities, and they got it covered up. They're staying lukewarm. And here's the sad thing about that. Because see, we're getting a warning now. We're getting like the final shot. We're getting a shot across the bow, and we can change course, or we can perish. It's going to be one of the two. But as you turn over to Revelation 15, and as you turn in there, I'll just start reading in verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. Now we know what the plagues are. In them, it's filled up the wrath of God. And see, the wrath of God is not for his church. See, now we're not talking about the wrath of the devil and what he's all trying to do. We are here talking about the wrath of God. And when it goes on to say, and I saw the sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that gotten the victory over the beast. What? Them that got the victory over what beast? The Antichrist, the one world government, the one world order. Okay? And the in his image, Okay, the image. So we got in Revelation 13 talks about the beast given the one world government, its authority, its seed, and its image, AI maybe perhaps, you know, artificial intelligence, however that's going to go. But here he said, and he goes on, and over his mark. See, the mark of the beast, that way you can't buy or sell or trade. Now pay attention, because see, pre-tribbers out there think, well, we're not going to be here, and they want to stick their head in the sand like an ostrich does when it sees a predator, and because his head's sticking in the sand and he can't see the predator, it doesn't mean he's not going to be lunch. And see, many Christians are going to become lunch because they ain't reading their Bible. They're not spending time with God. They're not allowing God to talk to them. They're letting their American theology talk to them that they taught from these bogus preachers that shouldn't even been in the gospel to begin with. And you're sitting here and you're looking at the word, and it wants us to beware, get the sin out of our lives. But preachers won't preach on it because it is confrontation. But when the Spirit of God is there and the Spirit of God is present, he does work like he was working among your members there Wednesday evening, and how they're confessing and getting things right. But you know, when one spine stiffens, a lot of other spines will start to stiffen up too. And so sometimes it takes that one with the courage, the grace of God to say, no, I've been struggling with this. Can you guys pray with me and help me? I want to confess it because I don't want it to lord over me. And by going forward and doing that, it's really amazing what takes place, because as you go forth and you drop down to Revelations chapter 16, because it goes in talking about the tabernacle, and it talks about the glory of God. And so when the sin is out of our life, the glory of God comes there. And when we go running to Christ, he doesn't reject us. He receives us. He receives us because he loves us so much. I don't care what you did. I don't care how many times you screwed up. If you finally truly repent, guess what? That thing will be broken and you'll be set free. And then in that compassion, you'll be able to minister to others after you've proven to be free for a season. But going back to chapter 16, it talks about, and the first angel went out, and he poured out his veil upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men that took the mark of the beast. Now, let's think about that sore for a minute. You know, whether you get a bite mark or something like, here we go. I don't know how I got this yesterday. Must have hit a stone. But it's a little nick, but it's all scabbed over. But, you know, think of a sore. It'll just fester and fester and fester. And pus will ooze out of it. You're constantly draining. If it's in your shirt, you know, you, the padding in it. This is what this is. Sores, pesters, the stink. Know what else comes along with that people don't want to talk about? It's flies trying to land and put their eggs in it so things can grow and hatch. This is what's coming to those that can't stand up for Christ. So if you're playing games as a Christian, and I hope our audience is not, but if you are, you have a wonderful opportunity to repent and get right. But if you're playing games, you can expect this to be coming your way, because these sores are going to break out all over you. This stink. And now think about this as we proceed, because we're just covering this last night in our Bible study. The second angel poured out his veil, and the seas became dead as blood as dead man. What does that look like? It gets thick, turns black, flies again. You know, all these, it just draws horse flies, all kinds of nasty things on you. Here's what, it's poured out on the sea, and every living soul in the sea died. Every living soul, it says. How many is every? What kind of stench is that? That floats may float up to the top and come toward the shore, litter on the tides of the beaches. Those that have lake homes and everything, the water will turn into blood. I mean, think of the stench. You got the sores, you got the stench. Okay, and this is judgment. The third angel comes and he pours out on the rivers, and they become, the waters become blood. So think about your drinking water, okay? These are those that can't stand up for Christ. They're going to walk over to their boss in the kitchen, turn it on, and start filling up their glass. And here it's halfway full of water, just like this, halfway full. Then all of a sudden, it turns red. And the whole thing turns red. And the blood that's coming out, you know, you take a pack of meat and you get cut up and the blood comes off of it and drips down. You know, if you let that sit there, it will draw all kinds of critters. And so blood is going to come out of the waters, okay? So they're going to run through the pipes. Because if these things are hooked up, I mean, it's going to clog up systems. And so you open up your faucet, blood's coming out. It's going into your drain. Then it sits there. Think of the stench in your homes. Remember when One More Night with the Frogs. One More Night with the Frogs. You know, when Moses comes and he says to Pharaoh, you want the frogs to go? Oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow, take them away. One more night. Now, think of these things crawling all over you. One lands on you right up here. You're here trying to sleep, and you go, you just go to scream. And as you go to scream, it happens to do its business right in your mouth. I mean, this is gross stuff, but this is what's coming. And people think, oh, I'm going to take the mark of the beast. I'm going to party in hell. Ah, you ain't going to party nowhere. You know, this is serious stuff. And it goes on. But if we look down and we look over at verse 15, as Melissa pointed out, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And see, right in the midst of all this, here we are like in Goshen. We're going to see the sores. We're going to see the people cussing God, yet refusing to repent. But how many of those are going to be Christians that follow after the false beast or the false prophet and the beast, and they'll worship his image because they ain't serious? And you see, if we can't stand up for Christ now, how are we going to stand up for Christ when the real pressure comes?
That's right.
And we see it starting.
Let me just give an interjection real quick to what you're saying,
please,
because I think you're making an excellent point. In all those Left Behind series movies about the pre-tribulational rapture, it was always, you know, woe to those who are left behind. But in reality, now that we have learned through the scriptures that immediately after the tribulation, there will be a resurrection. There will be some time in between. There will be a resurrection that we alive and remaining will be caught up to meet the Lord. And those who are left behind at that point, after the tribulation, before the vials of the wrath of God that you're talking about, what about the Christian community or the believers that will not make it in the resurrection or the catching away after the great tribulation? They will be left behind to endure these Revelation chapter 16 vials.
But if they don't take the mark of the beast, if they don't take the mark of the beast, because we'll have that millennial reign for 1,000 years. And the earth
will come later on, so, after the vials of wrath.
They'll have to hang out. They'll have to.
That's no bueno, man. You don't want frogs crawling around you.
Yeah. I don't either. But no, the thing is today. See, we can't live tomorrow yet because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But today, you and I can live. Today, we can work on us. Today, we can come to Christ. We can repent. We can make sure our hearts are right. Regardless of what comes at you, maybe you get a letter of a foreclosure on your property. You know, what are you going to do? Are you going to sweat? Are you gonna be scared? Are you going to cry? Maybe they came to repossess the car. Maybe they came to, we don't have debtors prison, so they don't take our kids, so to speak. But there's things that are going on that'll come. But see, where is our love? Where is our real love? I believe I shared this once before, but Africa, they walk around singing, the Lord is my refuge, my high tower, my God, in him I trust. And yet in America, something didn't work out for us, and now we're all depressed for the day. Or 2 days or a week until we get over it. Where is our real love walk for the things of God? If God didn't do another thing for you, and if you had to bury all your children, would you still serve them?
Yeah, the Nigerians, you bring up an excellent point. The Nigerians right now are unprecedented warfare against their lives, persecution. They are dying. They are being afflicted, tormented. They're being driven from their communities. To the degree that the workers there are asking the Trump administration for help. They're asking Ivanka Trump, please send resources, help us. And yet they are the most beautiful people, praising God, worshiping God. And Pastor Dave, just a quick interjection again. I mean, way to the south of you, to the south of us down in Texas, I mean, this Hurricane Laura, 150 miles per hour, they said was like 1,000 tornadoes. The damage we haven't even begun to look at yet and see that people just have lost everything in their lives. The wildfires in California, I know we say it again and again, but they're real. It's happening again and again. We've had hurricanes before. They're happening again. We've had fires before. They're happening again. But people's lives, you wonder, are they praising God? Whether their house remained or did not remain, are they standing strong? And so we'll look for those testimonies. But it is a time of testing, And as it gets closer and closer, you know, everybody will begin to feel the pressure that is mounting. And the only right thing is to be pressure proof by pressing into Christ right now.
Right. It's kind of like, are you that true sponge? See, if you walk outside in a mist, in like a real thick fog, and say you got a brim type hat on, and you're walking around with a long overcoat, and you're out there for hours, eventually that moisture wicks in, it seeps in, it absorbs in, and then eventually the brim of your hat will eventually drip. And so like a sponge, when you're pressed on all sides, if you're pressed up against the wall and there's pressing the sponge and it's pressing, what's oozing out of you? Is it the love of Christ? See, in America, we got everything, so we really don't have a love for Christ. You know, but yet in Matthew 6:20 here, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and neither thieves can break through nor steal it. See, and thieves can break through and steal. Now, we know that sometimes the storms of life, it rains on the just and the unjust. And in that, if you lose everything as a Christian, and I have. So I'm speaking from experience. Are you going to grab yourself up by the bootstraps and pull yourself up and stand up and say, God, I don't care if all forsake me. I am worshiping you. You are worthy. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to meditate on you. I'm going to encourage myself as David did when everybody wanted to stone him and kill him and worship him. And he will raise you up out of the heaps of ashes. But see, you have a decision to make. And like that sponge getting pressed, what's oozing out of you? Is it the true nature of God, the character of God, the love? That may not seem like there's a lot of joy. Sometimes you have to give a sacrifice of praise, even while you're crying. And you just worship him and tell him how great it is while you're crying and your heart is hurting. You know, these are things that we have to do. And this is the same way you conquer that sin in your life. Or anything that you may deal with. And as you conquer these strongholds that have been in your life that maybe you've allowed in your life for a series of years, 10, 20, and depending how old we are, and some of us that are 70 years old have not dealt with a sin in our life from when we were 20 and we let that sit there quietly. Oh, God understands. And no, he don't understand. You made peace with that sin, and this is perhaps maybe why your prayers ain't heard. But going back to the people that lost everything in California with it, homes were burned down. You can have a Christian on one house and a heathen on the other. And sometimes the heathen has a better attitude than the Christian. And that's sad. It's not supposed to be. But see, if they're trusting in the things more than they're truly trusting in God. Because God said, as you continue to read, but see, after all these things in verse 32, do the Gentiles see? All these things they seek. We're not to seek those things. Our heart set is supposed to be on souls. You and I are ambassadors of Christ. We're representing a heavenly kingdom. And I get it that people mock us, they laugh at us, but I really don't care. Okay, I'm going to proclaim the truth because I know there's some that truly want to hear. They want to know. They want the answers. They want, how do I overcome this? How can I get my life back on track? It's today. See, all we can live is today. God will provide for you today. He will speak to your heart as you get the garbage out. You'll hear him clearly. What's my next move? Do I relocate? Do I transfer? Look at the people now that are fleeing California. Okay, yeah. They're fleeing, not necessarily because of the fires, but because a tyrant has no work. Nobody's been able to work since March. Businesses, thousands, hundreds of thousands have closed doors and they'll never reopen. These are people's dreams. The dream comes through the multitude of business. That means a lot of hard work. And there are people that poured everything into it. And they may never get that back. Now, there's some that poured it into following God, that they could be, they're believing that they can finance the gospel and do other things for the kingdom of God. And that's wonderful. But even they've lost some things. And so what do? Maybe God is moving them out. They may not see it now. But what if they moved out, they're really depressed and everything, and the next day they wake up to find out that California had a massive earthquake, a huge tsunami came in, literally wiped it off. Maybe a part of that California did fall off, and they happened to be right there or just on the other side of it. But the water, the tidal surge came in, and there was nothing left. So they They still have their lives. And it took those stances to get them out, just like Lot. I mean, God loves you so much. He will do everything he can to get you out of the situation where he knows the destruction is coming. You and I have to be able to hear him. And if you and I are playing with sin, it's going to hinder how we hear God. It's going to hinder how we discern. And you know, and like yesterday when I looked at Chloe, that's the name of our dog, I had a quick glance. I saw the pupils of her eyes get, they were real big and they went gray. And I'm like, that's odd. Well, I should have recognized it right in there. It's a demon that's attacking her. Wow. And so nothing manifested. It was just before the show where that spirit was trying to manifest. And it's gone. And she's sitting right here just peaceful and just looking at me, you know, not shaking. And you know, it's just – but see, this is the authority, the power, the name that the Christians have. Not pastors, not preachers, not evangelists, not prophets, believers. Believers, but we have to learn the power of that name, the authority of the name. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word. And as we're hearing the word of God along the name of Jesus, our faith in the name will grow. And we definitely need that. We need that in this hour. We need that for this time, because what is coming upon the earth, you know, the thing, we're seeing it in Wisconsin, and we may have a lot of major cities that end up trying to burn because they don't want this president in there. We just had a lot more of the, a lot of people, and see, it's not in the news. There's a lot of people all over the place, and a lot of them in the Democratic Party right now is what I'm seeing, getting busted for child pedophilia, rape. And here they are resigning from their positions. And you know why? Because honestly, Trump is like a Jehu. He is not the savior. He's just a man. His style is different. I get that. But you know what? He's appointed by God like Jehu. And Jehu took Jezebel, had a three throw her right out the window when nothing was left of her. And he tricked the people that worshiped Baal. And they slaughtered all them. You know, so Trump, I believe God is using him with his hand to do one more cleanup, to turn some things. We're not going to get rid of all the deep state. Not even if he had 16 more years, it ain't going to happen. I mean, because people's hearts are naturally gross and wicked. And so whoever you place, the enemy's going to try to move some more things in, because we're going to have one. We're going to have every nation's going to turn against Israel. So we know that. But in the meantime, when righteous people are in authority, there is a rejoicing among the people. So we need to keep. For me, I'm still praying. I'm praying that those that believe the word of God or believe the words of the disciples that Jesus spoke and all that go on through, those people want to hear the truth. They're looking for the truth. They see the things are happening. They've been sitting. Most of them have sat in dead churches. Churches like here, I got a couple of notes. I'm just working on something here. But, you know, like, for example, the Presbyterian Church voted to redefine marriage to a commitment between two people. You got the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America also allows same-sex couples to get married. Wow, ain't that nice? See, how's that even called a church anymore? Yeah. The Episcopal Church, if I'm saying that, 2012, a rite of blessing for same-sex. The United Church of Christ, same-sex, since 2005. You know, this is stuff, and now they're allowing them to preach out of the pulpit. See, and we have real Christians that truly love Jesus that are sitting in some of these places. And yet, how do they get out, Pastor? Look, they don't want to abandon God, and they feel like if they leave the church, they're going to be abandoning God because that's all they ever known. It's like Israel coming out of Egypt. You know, I mean, my understanding, they were in bondage for 430 years, not 400, 430, but as they came out, they wanted to go back because it's all they knew. You know, and see, you and I, it's hard for us to change because we're creatures of habit. You go to a church, you sit in a particular area, usually try to sit in that same seat, you know, and somebody's sitting in your seat, you might get your little feathers ruffled. You know, somebody took my seat, you know, it's a case where, because we're creatures of habit, we're not hearing God's voice. See, an easy way for Christians to start picking up on the voice of God is when you walk into a church, say, Lord, where should I sit that I can minister to somebody today? Where should I sit? And let him direct you to an area. And then watch God bring somebody, and you'll be able to talk to them. Start hearing the voice of God, because you and I, we need to hear the voice of God even clearer and clearer as the days are coming. And if we don't practice that now, how are we going to do it then? When all the commotion is, when they are trying to literally burn down the cities. You know, you look at this kid that just shot two of the guys up in Wisconsin. Well, as now more of the stories coming out, he was there with some other people for trying to protect the business. They were confronted. It's on video. He was confronted. And then finally, he left the area. And then they started chasing him. And then one kid comes up and whacks him with a skateboard. But see, the media, not even Fox News, said he was hit with a skateboard. That's what knocked him down. Then they tried taking the gun from him. He had a long rifle. And he ended up shooting. Everything on video is in total self-defense. Total self-defense. Now he's 17. Why is he there? I don't know. The other men should be there. Now, at 17, I understand you're a young man, but that's not how society is going to see you, especially here in America. Overseas, you're 13, they put a gun in your hand, you're a man, you go to war. Here, we got what they call teenagers. I call it wasted years. When my kids turned 13, I started talking to them as you're men. Now this is welcome to manhood, and now we're going to expect you to start putting away childish things and start doing things and start taking on responsibilities and acting like that. And you keep them out of that drug age or that usage or the paraphernalia, you know, and whatever else, whatever their choice of flavor is today, because I've been out of that ring for quite a while. So thank you, Jesus.
So let me just interject into that right now. Let me just share some thoughts with our listeners. What I'm hearing, what I'm associating this message with, Pastor Dave, is I know in my heart that God is saying it's his desire in a season to roll away the reproach from off of his ecclesia, from off of his people, singularly, corporately. I believe the way he's going to do that is by giving a fresh revelation of the blood of his son. I believe that the epiphany, the eyes of our faith, the eyes of our understanding are going to open. We're going to get a revelation of the blood as a stain remover, as a disgrace remover, getting rid of guilt, shame, condemnation, getting rid of the phobias, the fears, the sins that have so easily beset us, as was said yesterday. So I believe God wants to do this, and it's called, and what I'm hearing right now, is radical surgery. And if anybody has ever stood in the liberty of Christ, where your conscience is clear, where your soul is at rest, and you are enjoying the presence of God because you have confessed your sins, you have repented of your sin, you bear fruits of repentance, and you're walking in another direction, there is nothing more beautiful, more powerful, more life-giving. And you talk about an open heaven where the Spirit of the Lord begins to guide your life into the destiny he has for you that is connected to his eternal purpose. So what I hear, Pastor Dave, is radical surgery coming to any heart that desires it. It's not going to have to, you know, if you don't want to be delivered from sin, if you don't want to be delivered from fear and offense and resentment and bitterness and all these things, if we don't, lust or pride, if we don't want to be delivered, we won't be. And then there is a solution to that called the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. And you've got to be crazy to think, I want to hold on to some sin for a period of time that's going to produce nothing of value, and then find ourselves in the midst of something that's going to be so fierce that you are going to beg God for help. I mean, that's just a reality. Why would you do that? People are contemplating. I was shocked to hear how many people are dealing with unbelief and doubt. And that's not a reproach against them. It's just this is the devil bringing his demonic spirit of doubt and unbelief to the body of Christ to get them out of the way so that they will experience some of that satanic wrath that God told us was going to come. Folks, we don't want to be there. Allow for the radical surgery. If you've got cancer in your life, go to the doctor and get the surgery done. Get it done. Get it out of your life. And when it comes to sin, you have a high priest. His name is Yeshua. You could go directly to him. And then God has granted you the fivefold ministry. Go to your pastors. Have them pray with you. Have them walk you through. Find somebody that understands deliverance, because most likely the reason why the sin is continuing on is there's a demonic presence in there. And until you cast out the demon, it's going to be virtually impossible to put away the sin. Now, God has given us a helper called the Holy Spirit. And so we're not going through this alone. And we are members one of another in the body of Christ. So I'm hearing radical surgery, God getting a people ready to be able to stand in the last days and not allow the enemy to have any power over their lives that they may be doing exploits, Pastor Dave.
Amen. Amen. Well said. No, Acts 10:44 says, while Peter spoke these words. See, when any minister is speaking the word, okay? No, Pastor Vance, as you're speaking the word, Honeycutt yesterday, the joy and the bubbliness of him, that guy. I mean, I look forward to meeting him. I really do. Now, I'm not normally like that, okay? But I love people that are like that because it's kind of contagious, right? And I like to bring the fire. I want the fire of God. I want to bring, and not that he doesn't have fire, but he's got that. He has more fruit of joy out of him, okay? And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I look forward to meeting him. But any man that's or woman that's speaking the true word of God, the Spirit of God will fall on him. And the revelation of the blood of Christ washing us free and clean, this is what's needed. But we're going back to the true authority and the power of the word of God, and going back to the cross. You know, and the blood, and not just going to the cross and giving my life to Jesus. Okay, I'm forgiven of my sins, but going through the cross, dying to self, being crucified with him, being raised to newness of life, and then going forth to do what he commanded us to do, minister the gospel, encourage, inspire, because as this gets ugly and dark, and it's going to get ugly and dark, we are going to shine, and the people are going to search you out, and just they're going to come up and just start pouring out their hearts, and you will have that opportunity to speak a divine word into their life with a power of God can hit them, and bam, they can get set free, they get a hold of revelation. But go and deal with the doubt and the unbelief. Let's take another look at that. You know, when they came down off the mountain, you know, the disciples were trying to cast out the spirit out of the boy, and they couldn't. And so bring them to me, Jesus says. And Jesus cast them out. They said, Lord, why couldn't we cast them out? And he said, because of your doubt and unbelief. Well, you want to get rid of doubt? You want to get rid of unbelief? This kind comes out except by fasting and prayer. See, the fasting and prayer doesn't make you stronger to get the doubt. The fasting and prayer deals with the doubt and unbelief that's in us. And so as you spend time fasting, as you spend time in that prayer, that doubt and unbelief will wash away just as the word of God washes over us. And it washes and purifies our mind and renews our mind so we start thinking like the gospel. If you want to be serious, start incorporating fasting into your weekly schedule. You know, for those of you that may be diabetic or something, or you have some other medical condition, you know, clear it with your doctor first and foremost, but then try to just say, okay, for lunch, I'm just going to eat a salad. Maybe just a lettuce salad, no tomatoes, no nothing else. Okay. With no flavor on it, you know, just a salad, a head of lettuce, you know. I mean, but see, you're denying yourself. See, every one of us can do something regardless of our condition, whether it's medical or otherwise. And see, if you haven't fasted or spent time fasting, don't think you're just going to go up there and take a 21-day fast and be able to work and do everything. Man, you're going to pass out laying somewhere on the street. You know, you've got to learn to buffet your body. Just like you're buffeting your body with dealing with sin, you do the same thing with fasting. And why? So the doubt and unbelief, we can get rid of that. So we can move in the fullness of Christ. So that we can be, once again, His true ambassadors. So I love what you're saying, too. And go ahead, Vincent. I'm going to turn it back over to you here.
Well, no. You know, the name of your ministry is River of Fire Ministries, and it would be really sad if you were bringing springs of gentle water. You know, you have a river fire. I'm seeing volcano, you know, unpleasant, rugged, you know, raw, rather than, you know, gentle flowing streams, which are beautiful and are necessary at different times. But right now, that explosion, that volcanic explosion with the lava dripping down the sides of the mountain and ready to purge the land. And in reality, our souls need to be purged. Our souls need to be cleansed. And it's not always by a feel-good message. It's very rarely a feel-good message. It is dealing with the demonic issues where generational bloodline curses have drawn generational demonic spirits to inhabit. That's why you're just like your dad was, or you're just like your grandfather was. It's called a familiar spirit that goes from generation to generation, and they claim you to be their house because your mama was, your papa was, your grandma was, your grandpa was, if they allow that to happen. But this thing is visiting you and I right now. We must be the intercessors of our family bloodline before us and behind us. And I believe in that. And I'll get into that maybe one other time we're talking. But I really believe that the powers of darkness that have maybe nailed your family, they're coming against you, but you're standing in the power of the cross. And the cross is the nullification of that demonic generational bloodline curse, or that sin that goes from generation to generation. So this is all about the river of fire, Pastor Dave. Let the fire flow. Let the purging come. Wash me clean thoroughly. But it's not a gentle wash. It's fire. And it's time for fire, because God's got to get a people ready right now to stand in the last days. I maintain that.
And we really do, you know. And I would love to be a fluffy, feel good preacher in a way. I think so. Maybe that. I like stirring the pot.
Gotta stir the pot, man. Stupid, where?
But, honeycut, you rubbed off on me yesterday. I'm laughing today.
And I think there's some fire in that, man. I think we're gonna see some fire.
In Ecclesiastics 12, you know, the 13 and 14, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God.
Amen.
Fear who? God. The beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear God. Get wisdom. And keep commandments. That love walk. Okay. See, don't look at what's going on from a Democratic point of view, a Republican point of view. Look at it from the Word of God point of view and examine everything under that Word and look at your Word. See, anybody that comes out and says, oh, I can kill a baby at 9 months, or we'll let the baby be born and then we'll let the mother decide, we'll keep the baby comfortable and then euthanize, that is not murder. And where's the outcry of the church? Where's the holy anger? Where is the fire of God that consumes our bones? Where are the Elijahs, the Jeremiahs? We're here. But, you know, as this stuff gets rolling, see, we're going to operate in a whole nother level of things. And it's called the gifts of the Spirit. Just as Saul, on his way to Damascus, when the Lord appeared to him, you know, and listen. People, you guys had to listen to all these pastors that saw these angels, and you see the angel of Jesus appeared to me, and this is what they said. And I think in the New Testament, I think three angels appeared, and each time they appeared, the men fell as dead men. I never hear these men now. Oh, an angel appeared to me. You know, the presence of God can come in my room or my kitchen when I'm studying, and it did about a year ago. Filled my room in the kitchen, and I dropped to the tile floor and started weeping. When the presence of God comes in, there is an authority, there is a power. It's not this feeling good. It's like reverence. And you drop. Why? Because our flesh can't stand in his presence. And no flesh will glory in the presence of God. And he's saying, fear him. Ask God. God, teach me to fear you. Show me how to fear you, that I may not sin against you. Father, you said you baptized me with the Holy Ghost and fire. I want this fire. Purify me. Burn out anything in me. See, he's a gentleman. He won't go against your will. That's why you have to invite them to do this work. You got to long for it. But just because you ask once, you're not going to get it. See, the widow woman that kept going and beating on the judge's door. The judge said, I ain't listening to her. But yet, because of her persistence, she kept going. It was wearing him down. The enemy, the Antichrist, is here to make war against the saints, to wear them out. His persistence, his knocking. Where are you going to get the strength and the power to rise up and stand against him and to be able to push back? No, I remember going down, and I had a prophetic word that actually was spoken over me that actually turned out to be true. And so I couldn't even tell you who the person was. But they said I would be leading a lot of older men. And I'm just thinking, okay, what are you smoking? And so I'm like, good stuff. And I mean, you know, when I hear some of these words, sometimes I think, okay. But then when the word comes to pass, or if it comes to pass, and sometimes it may take a season. But, you know, God has brought in, because of this COVID, all kinds of believers that are older, and they have a fire for God. And they're looking to me to have that, to deliver to them what God is saying. I know they can hear God. That's not what I'm saying. But when we come together, every one of us get a part. But when I come in behind that pulpit, see, I don't want to minister with a cup that's half full. See, I want to be in God's presence. I want to be in prayer. I want to be in meditation on the word. And sometimes he'll change up a message on me, really just like boom. And I'll come out and I'll deliver a word. And that word going forth goes forth with that anointing, and the people sit there. And Pastor Vince, what we've been having is they've been lingering to 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon after service. Nobody going nowhere because the Holy Spirit, the Lord, he is doing something amongst his people. But see, his people are going to be fewer people, but we're going to be a mighty people. We're going to be a people that turn the world upside down, right side back up. And we're going to go forth. And yes, we're going to have all this stuff to come back. So we don't have to look for the fights. They're going to come. Yeah. And we're going to have to know how to flow and hear his voice and to be full of wisdom, be 10 times like Daniel, 10 times wiser than his competitors because of the fear of God. God made him that way. God is making you, Pastor, me, the rest of us that way. As long as we spend time in his word and we stay alone, that revelation. So as the word of God is preached, the Spirit of God's dropping on the people, just like it did in Acts in chapter 10, where as Peter spoke, the Holy Ghost fell on them. As it did on them, the disciples, when they're in the upper room, the 120. And revelation, knowledge of the blood cleansing me. I am free from sin and bondage. You never have to return back to it. Now, if you return back to it, it's a choice you made. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that God wasn't able to keep you. And you see, because see, we got to remember, neither know we're saved now, and we're starting to walk with Christ in our members. There are parts of us that still want a war because the spirit and the flesh, they fight each other, okay? So the question is what dog are you feeding? If you're sitting there watching television for hours every night, guess what? You're not in this word. And if you're not in this word, that dog's going to win. So that dog is, you know, how's the stomach turn, you know, or as the stomach turns. Or, you know, hey, some of you may watch, the Hallmark Channel. Oh, the Hallmark Channel is a great channel to watch. You know, the lovey-dovey, the movies, all the cuddle time, you know, all that stuff. But it's teaching you human reasoning and human thinking. So even the Hallmark Channel, as good as it may appear to be, and now they're promoting some other gay stuff, but that's neither here nor there. But see, the time is, your time is valuable. Are you spending it in the Word? And that's what we have to do. We have to be in this word. We have to let God transform us for this work that's ahead, for you to be able to stand, not taking the mark of the beast, be able to bow your head when there's no food on the table, and open up your eyes and there's food, or somebody's knocking out the door and left you food because you ran out of food because you want to take the mark. You know, we have to get to this point where we can trust God. And if you can't trust God now,
amen. Pastor Dave, absolutely amazing word that you're presenting here today. And I wanted to compliment something you said about these last days, how God's going to have a strong people. And in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 8, it says, and I'm just going to pick it up here. It says, Zechariah 12, 8, in that day, and I want to profess and confess that today is that day. We're moving into in that day. And I believe that's true. And after the fire, God will send the rain and it's going to produce this kind of a people. You ready? In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. Now, when you think about an end time people who have gone through the fire, the purging, the cleansing, then God sends the rain to produce in that seed the divine nature, you're going to have the most feeble among us as David and the house of David, and we know we're even of a greater house because Christ, we are his house, the house of David, the house of Christ, will be as God. We have right now available in us the Holy Spirit of God. Christ is in our hearts by faith according to the word of God. The presence of God dwells in us right now, and we ought to be a people that when we're walking down the streets, the enemy is fleeing in a thousand different directions because they're not looking at us, but the presence of God that is in us will begin to manifest in a divine nature. Pastor David, why anybody would want to leave right now is simply because they have not allowed the purging of their soul. They don't want to go through the fire. They don't want to deal with issues. So they just want to get out of here. I don't know about you, but I'm more about, hey, I haven't walked all through this just to go away and do nothing. Mm-hmm. I want to stand with my brothers and sisters in the last days, being the most feeble one, myself, as David, but the house of David, the ecclesia, the true church of Jesus Christ, being as God in this earth, demonstrating power. The Apostle Paul said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's power, it's demonstration. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, folks, get cleaned up. Let the river of fire flow through the soul. Get all the stuff out. God is right now bringing us right now. He's right now doing it. He's right now bringing a relieving of the reproach. Yeah, silly wabbit. Anyways, we know what we're doing here. Pastor Dave, we've run out of time, man.
I know. Where to go, right? Hey, I love you. I love everybody. I'll see you soon. Feast of Tabernacles, expect God to move. Come expecting.
Amen. God bless you, Pastor David. We'll see you real soon, brother. Shalom. All right, Pastor Dave is with us on the air. You got to love it. You got to love it. Praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. We're preparing to meet the Lord in about 35 days for an appointment, a divine appointment. The Father God set in the heavens before man was ever on this earth, Genesis 1:14, an appointment for a festival, and he's been having these appointments every year. They are rehearsals. They're bringing us to something. I believe in every appointment there is a strategy. There's an impartation. God is bringing vessels to the Feast of Tabernacles to be releasing right now data from the throne of heaven for the body of Christ. I believe the Father's heart is desiring to roll away the reproach, the shame, the disgrace that the enemy has reproached the body of Christ with. I believe he's going to send the rain, and there's going to be a birthing. And I believe the birthing is going to be that Davidic spirit. And I believe the body of Christ will be as the house of God. That's powerful when you really stop and think about it. We have friends right now that are suffering, neighbors to our south in Texas. We have neighbors that are suffering in Iowa still because of the derecho that went through there. We have neighbors that are suffering in the fires in California. I want you to know that we have an organization called United Christian Charities Disaster Relief. I'm asking you to pray. There are people that are now spearheading our Disaster Relief United Christian Charities organization. It is ready to go with volunteers. We need prayer. We are laboring. It is working. Look at all the events. How would you like to be on your way to Texas with a team right now? Our friend and sister Donna, her husband Don, is already on his way into the area of Lake Charles, Louisiana, to go out and assist. What a time to be able to get into a van with seven or eight people, bring the 52-foot Mack trucks with all the provision, show up, and start to give what the people need and share a Bible and a blanket and a warm smile and a hug encouraging people that just went through the great trial that they've gone through. It's time to engage. We've got to get off of ourselves, but we've got to get outside of anything inhibiting or prohibiting the glory of God from manifesting forth. It's time to engage. And yet I know that God's got the harness on his people. He's got the bit in the mouth. He's holding things back. He's finalizing his preparations to release many people in this hour. And so get ready, body of Christ, and put it on your calendar, October 2nd through October 9th. Even if it's in your own backyard, go and have the appointment with the Lord. Celebrate his Feast of Tabernacles. September 18th, the trumpets will blow and Rosh Hashanah will begin. And the 10 days of awe will commence of introspection and examination. And that's what Pastor Dave was talking about all morning this morning. And then on the 10th day of the seventh month, the Day of Atonement will come. That atoning blood. May God give to each one of us a revelation of the blood of his Son that rolls away the reproach. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world through his blood. May we understand the value of the blood. It is the most powerful weapon alongside the name of Jesus Christ. This is going to remove reproach. This is going to release the glory. The ecclesia is going to manifest something forward. We're going to be more prepared to go forward. And ladies and gentlemen, we are in August 28th. The prophecies that we have heard, that we do not despise prophesying. We take heed to every word. And we are examining what we are listening and what God is revealing, prophesying the word of God right now. And listening to what's coming, these months of September, October, November, if we were to capsulate it, they are going to be, as we understand, very intense, very powerful months, and only God knows, you know and I know, that there's no reason on the planet that Donald J. Trump would not win the election. But something's wrong. Something is still wrong. There's an awkwardness. And I'm not sure what it is. Maybe America has just offended God to such a degree, and maybe these last 4 years of giving opportunity have not afforded the righteousness that God desires. We're still murdering innocent babies. We are still promoting homosexual marriages. Our nation is still riddled with pornography. People are committing suicide in an exponential way. The country is shut down. Churches are not gathering together. There's a storm brewing on every side within our nation. And we believe that the next wave is going to be the sword of war. China and United States are kind of facing off right now with all kinds of military maneuvers on this earth. Something's wrong. We've got to have the mind of Christ. We have to know what our responsibility is and who we trust. I don't know about you. I don't trust the government to save my life. I don't trust the American system to save my life. I belong to the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. He's my captain and my king. The Holy Spirit is my guide. I'm a good citizen on this planet because I love the Lord and he loves me. And I'll always love my neighbor. But I know that something is happening, and so should you by now, that we're marching towards a moment wherein everything is going to change. We have to be ready for the change. The strategic outpouring of God's Spirit during his Feast of Tabernacles, I believe, is going to be necessary, imperative for our growth and understanding and whatever it is that God is going to do. Listen, showing up to the Feast of Tabernacles is what you do. We're coming to honor the king. We're bringing our offerings to the king. It's his feast. And when we come to honor him, he promises that those who honor him, he will honor. He's going to release something. So wherever you go, whether it's Jerusalem, Israel, or the other parts of the world, gather together with a called out people of like-mindedness that are serious about their business right now before the Lord in this hour, and separate yourself. That's what Tabernacles is all about, separating, coming out of all the busyness, and coming to focus and to recline in the presence of God, allow his ministration to take place, and watch the outflow that comes from your own life. We're going to be praying for all kinds of glorious things. It's an amazing moment, folks. It's an amazing moment. Having said that, we're going to go rolling right now. I will see you on Tuesday. Remember, you could join us on Saturday night at 5:30 on our Omega Radio Network and Facebook, and then on YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV. 5:30 Central Standard Time. Our New Wine Ministry service will go on. And then Sunday at 2 p.m., you could do the same if you'd like to join us. If you have nothing else to do, if that's a desire of your heart to do that, Sunday at 2 o'clock, Saturday, 5:30. And then we'll be back here Tuesday at 9 a.m. right now on omegaradio.org. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, omegaradio.org. There's a roundtable discussion. And those very wise and spiritually intelligent men and women of faith are talking about spiritual things to continue the cleanup in the body of Christ. I'm Pastor Vince. Got to go. I'll see you on Tuesday, if not sooner, over the weekend. God bless. Shalom.